Hello, this is Lincoln reading for you the Iroquois County Times Republic for Thursday, August 7th, 2025. Starting at the top, we have Crescent City Town Board discusses ordinance violations from staff reports. Mayor Mark Raby called the August 4th meeting of the Crescent City Town Board to order at 7 p.m. Clerk Kathy Christensen took roll call with all trustees present: Joe Martin, Kim Raby, Jim Sorensen, Joe Bellut, Steve Carley, and Chris Morical. Also present were Al Johnson, Village Maintenance Engineer, Jeff Hildenbrand, Building Inspector, Amanda Bellut, Community Center and Heritage Park Manager, and Mary Carley, Treasurer. Johnson stated he has been conducting general maintenance throughout the village. He also noted the holes in the parking lot at Heritage Park haven't been filled in yet. They were caused when stakes for the tent were driven into the parking lot for Fireball Festival. Minutes from the July 7th and July 10th meetings were read and approved. Christensen read ERH's monthly report, collected and analyzed all required samples, submitted monthly operating reports, performed daily testing for process control, serviced equipment, responded to Julie locate requests, rotated wells, worked at various dig sites in the village, and replaced insulation around pipe from well number 3 to the water plant and installed a heat tape. ERH plans to flush hydrants Monday and Tuesday, August 11th and 12th, between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. Joe Bellut and Sean McBride of ERH are working on an updated quote for fire hydrants to be installed on Florida Drive and Albrecht Drive Lane, Mary Carley presented her treasury reports for the village and community center. For the village, there is still a considerable shortfall from the amount charged for water in the village compared to the amount of expenses. The village needs to get the water rates to show an income in order to qualify for grants to help with water main replacements. She said the village has now joined Illinois Rural Water Association, which will comprise a report on water rates and projected income/expenses. The village report was approved. The community center report was also approved. Amanda Bellut said things were going well at the community center and she hasn't had any problems with renters violating the rules. She said the diaper changing table has been installed in the women's restroom at the community center. It was noted someone wanted to rent the community center during fall townwide garage sales, but she wasn't sure of the rate. The rate for the center is set as a per day rate. Compliments on updates done at the community center were shared. In new business, a representative of Conexus has requested permission to conduct door-to-door recruitment for residents to subscribe to the internet company. The door-to-door sales option was granted, but the salesmen will need to obtain written permission from the mayor and refrain from any residents where it is posted for no soliciting. There have been several reports on ordinance violation within the village. There are vehicles which are not registered and or inoperable, and those need to be registered or removed. Any furniture or appliances which have been sitting on property for a while need to be removed. Some furniture can be taken to the dumpster at the village dump, but there is a charge for large items. Appliances sitting in a yard need to have doors removed so no animal or person can become trapped inside. Also, buildings which are dilapidated can be eyesores or hazards and need to be torn down or repaired. The most common ordinance violation right now is swimming pools. Those who have pools are asked to be in compliance with Ordinance Number 458 for the Village of Crescent City. Section 14-52, permit, reads, "It is unlawful for any person to construct, install, enlarge, or alter any private swimming pool unless a permit has been obtained from the village." Jeff Hildebrand. "Pools can pose a great safety hazard to others, especially small children." Section 14-54 of Ordinance 458 states, "Pools within the scope of this section or not enclosed within a permanent building shall be completely enclosed by a fence of sufficient strength to prevent unauthorized and or unguarded access to the pool, and shall be not less than 4 feet in height, so constructed as to not have voids, holes, or openings larger than 4 inches in one dimension. Gates or doors shall be equipped with a self-closing and self-latching device for keeping the gate or door securely closed at all times when not in actual use. A fence and gate with a lock sufficient to protect against unauthorized and/or unguarded entry must be erected prior to the swimming pool being filled with water. Ordinance 458 will be posted to the community's Facebook page, Crescent City, Illinois 60928. The title of the village's truck has been found, so information will be put together to advertise and accept bids. The state of Illinois is abolishing the 1% grocery tax as of January 1st, 2026. Villages and municipalities within the state have the right to reinstate the tax in their own communities. Board members discussed the tax and decided not to reinstate the tax in Crescent City. Fall townwide garage sales are set for Thursday through Saturday, September 18th, 19th, and 20th. The meeting adjourned at 8:41 with the next meeting set for 7 p.m. Monday, September 8th. This is a week later than normal due to the Labor Day holiday. Watseka Student Busy with Summer Pageants by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. A Watseka student has been busy this summer with pageants. Anna Klekon earned several awards this year. She recently was named Miss Teen Sweet Corn in the Sweet Corn Pageant in Hoopston. "This was my second year in the Sweet Corn Pageant," she said. "Last year I got Miss Photogenic. This year I got Teen Miss, which is that I won in my division. I was excited," she said. "My little cousin got to give me my crown. She won overall last year. That was the most exciting part of the pageant for me. I liked winning, but I also liked that I got to get my crown from my little cousin." Klekon also recently competed in the International Sunburst Beauty Pageant in Orlando, Florida. To get there, she had to progress through the local pageants. "I do a small pageant at the mall in Kankakee. If I do good in that, they pay my entry fee to go to state," she said. The state pageant was in Bloomington. She said there were 9 in her division. Klekon received first runner-up overall. Because of that win, she was eligible to go to the international pageant, which was in Florida. She just returned from that pageant, where she received an award for her patriotic wear and also was voted prettiest eyes. She dressed as Rosie the Riveter. There were 400 people competing in that international pageant, with 20 in her division. Klekon earned the Golden Award for selling the most ads. She sold 10 pages. She received a 6-foot trophy and a crown. Klekon said she plans on competing again next year. She attended Donovan Schools last year, where she was a member of Beta Club and was a cheerleader. This fall, she will be a freshman at Watseka Community High School. She will be a cheerleader for football. And here's a lovely picture of Anna Klecken, Miss Teen Sweetcorn. "I'm excited to go to a new school and make new friends and express myself more," she said. Of the pageants, she said, "I like to do it to have fun and meet new people. It helps me build my confidence a lot." She said her family supports her a lot. Melissa and Michael Klecken are her parents. "I'd like to thank everybody for all their support and being there for me," she said. There is more pictures, one of Anna Klecken dressed as Rosie the Riveter for the International Sunburst Beauty Pageant. And there's another of Anna Klecken with a 6-foot-tall trophy and crown for selling the most ads in the International Sunburst Beauty Pageant in Orlando, Florida. Vermilion County's longest-serving sheriff is hanging up his hat. His son will be seeking to replace him, by Jennifer Bailey. Dateline Danville. It could be a second generation of the Hartshorn family becoming the next Vermilion County sheriff. Vermilion County's longtime sheriff, Pat Hartshorn, 74, is retiring after 36 years in the department's number one spot. His son, Mike, who has been in the number two spot as 10-year captain in the investigations division, is seeking to replace him. Mike Hartshorn, 44, of Danville, picked up a petition packet on Tuesday to run as a Republican sheriff candidate in the March 2026 primary election. Petition packets for the general primary election were available starting Tuesday in the Vermilion County Clerk's office. Mike said his father is not seeking re-election, having served as sheriff since 1990. Mike himself started in law enforcement in 2002, with 23 years with the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department under his belt. Mike has worked up the ranks, starting as a patrol deputy on second shift, then moving to sergeant in the patrol division, and now serving as captain in investigations. Mike said he's had to perform daily decision-making of running the department in his father's absence. Republican Pat Hartshorn has been sheriff since November 1990. In April 1973, he was hired as Vermilion County deputy, assigned to the jail and then patrol. He eventually moved into investigations, where he became chief of that department, followed by a span when he led a combined investigation unit of the Danville Police and Sheriff's Department. Later, he became chief deputy of the Sheriff's Department. Pat has served 9 4-year terms as sheriff and has been with the department 52 years. "It's record-setting in a lot of ways, with him being the longest-serving sheriff," Mike said. Mike said he's up for the challenge in becoming sheriff. "I grew up around this," Mike said. "I was 9 years old when he ran for sheriff. Being employed by the sheriff's department was always my dream job," Mike said. He's grateful he's had the opportunity to work there and rise through the ranks. Mike said he's enjoyed making decisions and assisting in running the department. "And now that this opportunity has presented itself, I feel I'm the best qualified person for a smooth transition to keep quality law enforcement," he said. Mike said he believes most people in the community think his father has done an amazing job of transforming our department into what it is today. Mike said people have seen the changes his father has made, such as advancing the department with today's technology. Mike hopes to continue his father's legacy. I'm excited for the opportunity to continue what he has done for the department and just to continue to provide the best law enforcement to the citizens of Vermilion County, Mike said. Mike and his wife, Dawn, who is a juvenile detective with the Danville Police Department, have one son, Ryan, 14, who is an incoming Danville High School freshman. Vermilion County Republican Party Chairwoman Erica Ramsey said Sheriff Hartshorne notified me Monday that he would not be running for re-election. I was also notified then that Michael Hartshorne would be seeking election for this seat. Therefore, there has been no other discussion at this time. Tuesday was the first day petitions could be circulated for the needed voter signatures to run for an office for established political parties. Petition packets must be filed with the Vermilion County Clerk from 8 a.m. October 27th to 5 p.m. November 3rd. The order in which candidates file will determine their placement on the ballot. In the event two candidates file for the same office and are of the same party, a lottery will be held at a later date and time to determine ballot placement. Local offices to be nominated in the March 17, 2026 general primary election include County Clerk, County Treasurer, County Sheriff, Supervisor of Assessments, Board of Review, Regional Superintendent of Schools, and County Board members. Precinct committee persons will be elected at the general primary election, and federal, state, and judicial offices also will be on the ballot. Information and necessary forms for those offices can be found on the State Board of Education's website, www.elections.il.gov, according to the clerk's office. The candidate who receives the highest vote total in each political party for each office in the primary will be on the November 3rd, 2026 general election ballot. Materials for new political party candidates and independent candidates will be available after the general primary election, the county clerk's office says. Others picking up petitions to run for offices included Treasurer Darren Duncan to seek re-election, new clerk Robin Heffern for county clerk, Kevin Bodine for County Board District 3, and Supervisor of Assessments Nate Byram for that position. Anderson named Champaign Region PHEP Public Information Officer. This Dateline Watsika. The Iroquois County Public Health Department recently announced that ICPHD Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director Scott Anderson of Watsika has been selected as the Champaign Region PHEP Public Information Officer. He will immediately take over the regional role. A public information officer, often referred to as a PIO, is responsible for disseminating information to the public primarily through media outlets and managing communication for an organization or agency. They act as a liaison between the organization and the public, ensuring transparency and accurate information flow, especially during emergencies or crises, according to information provided in a news release. Anderson has a background in both emergency services as well as working within the media. I started with the fire service in 1985, about the same time I began working on my days off from the fire department with the media as a photographer and occasionally as a writer, said Anderson. Those years of working both roles provide me with a distinct advantage over most when it comes to the job of a PIO. I look forward to sharing my years of knowledge with those in my region that may not feel as comfortable holding a PIO position. Robin Allen, Public Health Administrator for ICPHD, praised the selection. We are thrilled that Scott has been chosen for this important position within our region. His excellent communication, professionalism, and extensive media background make him exceptionally well-suited to strengthen regional public health messaging and outreach, she said. I plan to provide all those that hold a PIO position within the region with the tools necessary to complete different levels of training depending on their individual and departmental needs, Anderson said. I will assist everyone in learning how to write and disseminate a proper press release, interacting with the public through social media outlets, and feeling comfortable when holding a press conference. All these tasks can be daunting to anyone that has not been given proper direction. By following some simple advice, this guidance should build their confidence, allowing them to become more self-assured in their PIO role. Alzheimer's Foundation invites sites to join Global Light the World in Teal. August 5th, 2025. The Alzheimer's Foundation of America, AFA, is inviting sites all over the world, from buildings, bridges, and stadiums to city halls and homes, to sign up for its global Light the World in Teal Alzheimer's Awareness Initiative, according to information provided. Sites across the globe will be lighting up in teal, AFA's Alzheimer's Awareness color, on November 3rd as part of Alzheimer's Awareness Month to spotlight the issue of Alzheimer's disease and show support for all those affected by it. Whether it's a skyscraper or a single-family home, every structure that signs up for this program helps to raise Alzheimer's awareness, show support, and spark conversations about a global, growing public health crisis that currently affects 55 million people worldwide, said Charles J. Fuscillo, Jr., AFA's president and CEO. We're grateful to each site that has signed up thus far and encourage those who haven't to do so and help make the Teal Alzheimer's Awareness Spotlight as bright as possible. No registration fees are required to participate in the program. More than 1,300 sites in all 50 U.S. states and 16 other countries, territories, have already signed up to participate in this year's program. A current list of all participating structures can be found here. Sites interested in participating in AFA's annual Light the World in Teal Alzheimer's Awareness Program on November 3rd can sign up by visiting www.lighttheworldinteal.com or contacting AFA at 866-232-8484. Funding available for water quality management program projects in Illinois. Dateline Springfield. Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, Illinois EPA, Acting Director James Jennings is announcing a $750,000 funding opportunity through the agency's Section 604B Water Quality Management Plan, WQMP, program. According to information from the EPA, priority for funding will be given to projects that build capacity and/or increase assessments of water bodies in support of implementing the WQMP and the area-wide water quality management plans. The Notice of Funding Opportunity, NOFO, has been posted at https://il.amplifund.com/public/opportunities/details, etc., etc. Grant funds under this program are used to determine the nature, extent, and causes of point and non-point source water pollution, develop water quality management plans, develop technical and administrative guidance tools for water pollution control, develop preliminary designs for best management practices to address water quality problems, implement administrative water pollution controls, and educate the public about the impact and importance of water pollution control. The Illinois WQMP is essential for the protection of water quality and the control of point and non-point source pollution throughout the state, said Acting Director Jennings. Through these grants, we provide organizations with the financial resources needed to carry out water quality planning activities that lead to improved water quality. Illinois EPA receives federal funds from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency through the Clean Water Act to implement the WQMP grant program. Illinois EPA anticipates awarding a total of approximately $750,000 in funding to selected projects. This program includes 100% funding, with no matching funds required. While there is no maximum or minimum total project cost, past projects have ranged from approximately $50,000 to $350,000. These grants are available to recognized regional public comprehensive planning organizations and to any entity proposing a project with water quality benefits that fulfills part of the applicant's organizational charter. Applications for the Section 604B WQMP are due by October 8, 2025. Applicants must apply through the Grant Accountability and Transparency Act grantee portal. Additional information can be found on the Illinois EPA's Water Quality Management Planning Grants webpage. Sullivan-based logistics unit returns after deployment to Africa, Europe, St. Louis, Missouri. The Illinois Army National Guard's 634th Brigade Support Battalion Forward Logistics Element returned home on Saturday, August 2nd, after supporting U.S. Special Operations Command Africa for approximately 6 months, according to information from the National Guard. The unit of a little more than a dozen soldiers was divided into two teams during the deployment, with the majority, led by Major Donald Tucker of Mattoon, based in Africa, and the rest, led by First Sergeant Colton Love, stationed in Germany. Both teams traveled frequently, providing logistics wherever needed to support U.S. military operations on the African continent. The unit returned to St. Louis Lambert International Airport on multiple flights from their mobilization station in Texas. There they were greeted by 634th Brigade Support Battalion Commander Lieutenant Colonel Nick Krasinski, Command Sergeant Major Sam Nall, multiple other battalion soldiers, and some family members. Multiple soldiers decided to surprise their families at home. A forward logistics element, FLE, is a diverse team composed of an assortment of military occupation specialists to support the forward deployed warfighter. The Sullivan-based played a vital role supporting U.S. forces overseas. It was activated on January 20th at the Illinois Army National Guard's Readiness Center in Sullivan for deployment to Africa and Europe. And this has been Lincoln reading for you the Iroquois County Times Republic for Thursday, August 7th, 2025. Have a fabulous day.